Thank you, Kyla. And there are other chaplains around as well in our congregation who serve in churches. So, Lord, we do lift them up to you too, Father. Lord, you are on the move. Lord, your spirit is on the move. You are doing amazing things, Lord. We hear testimony of it every day. We can testify of it ourselves, Father. So have your way, Lord, in your people. Lord, where there's opportunities to speak your truth, Lord, I pray that people will be bold. Lord, help us. Give us the words to say. Give us that boldness to speak. Hallelujah. And to trust and know as we plant seeds that you'll water and you'll make them grow. So you are a mighty God. You are our King. Hallelujah. I thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, I thank you for the victory that we have in you. Lord, we were able to praise and worship your name this morning. Hallelujah. I thank you for the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Lord, I thank you for church where we can come together and praise you, the name above all names. We glorify you, Jesus, in this place. Lord, I pray you'll just use me, Lord. Empty me, Father. Fill me afresh with your anointing power, Lord, as I speak your truths, your word. Hallelujah. We are expectant, Father, of what you are doing. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wow. So good. Isn't the Lord good? What a word. It means so much. Now let me just get myself organized here. Put my eyes on. Okay. Now today I'm going to speak a little bit about considering your calling, or think about your calling. And this year I'm just really looking forward, and I'm very expectant to see what God's doing. We had a lot of training, pardon me, a lot of training last year. Fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that's been part of the equipping that the Lord wants to do for us. There's been a lot of change. The Lord's promised, and he's saying that there's a new thing. He's been calling out, saying, come to me. Come to me. So I think we need to just take those things on board and know that this is part of God's plan for us. God's plan for us as a church. And as we, as I came with this message, I just really felt that I wanted to share a little bit about our calling and where we are meant to be and where we feel God is leading us. I just want to pray something. So, Lord, I just take authority right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind any spirit of confusion in this place. I bind any spirits that may want to try and divide. I bind them in Jesus' name. Lord, any spirit of fear, I bind you in Jesus' name. And any spirit of apathy, in Jesus' name, I bind you and I cast you out. Hallelujah. We take authority by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We will overcome in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for that. So I was interesting how I basically was doing this message, and then about 3 days ago, the Lord kind of stopped me and he just said to me, preach Christ crucified. So I went to Paul's scripture, and I can't really compare myself to Paul at all, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 to 5, so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that you might, that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So that's my prayer this morning. And there's going to be a lot of scripture, because it just seemed to flow, and the wisdom, there's so much wisdom in the Word. And when you're really soaking in it, and especially when you're doing something, a study or preparing to talk about the Word, you just spend so much time in it, it just becomes so much richer. And I was, I've been really blessed to be able to do this, and it's been a stretch for me and a challenge for me to do these sorts of things. But this is what the Lord is calling us to do. He's calling us to step out, to be bold, to step into the things that he wants us to do. And we have to be ready to do it, because in that, the Lord's going to be glorified. So just think about what you were when you were called. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it's written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So it's not about us. It's all about him and what he's done for us through the salvation and the blood of the Lamb and his crucifixion on the cross. He died for us. So we've all been chosen for a reason. And by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, the glory of the Lord will be evident. So where do we fit? Finding our place in the picture. During a staff meeting, it was just earlier this month, which is only the end of January, but it just feels like, wow, what a year it's been already. We had a staff and elders planning day. And Kay, while we were praying, Kay, who was up here earlier, she had a vision of the Lord was just showing her a picture of a jigsaw with all the pieces slowly being put into place to reveal a beautiful picture. And each of those pieces represented a person in the body of Christ, each one of us. And each person has a unique place in the picture. And some of us are still being found. Some of us are still trying to find ourselves. But God's at work. And it's up to us to seek him out. We've been called into positions within the body, and there's positions that only we can fill. And if you're not stepping into it, you're not serving the body the way God wants you to. So I just want to encourage everybody, and that's what this message is about. It's an encouragement to stand up, to take your place. Even in the prayer room this morning, this came out in prayer as well. So it's time to press into the Lord and just really seek him out and to seek what he wants for us. And so I wanted to talk about the victory, and we sung about that this morning, and that's what we believe, we know is true. We live in victory. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because that you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So we're victorious, and we know Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. So sometimes we've got to remind ourselves. We get caught up in the things of life, and we've got to just step back and remember we are victorious. We are in Christ. So be thankful, be joyful. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So let's let that joy bubble up. Let's just be filled afresh with that joy as we reflect what Jesus has done for us. There's so much that we can be thankful for. There's so much that he's done for us, for the people around us. So I just pray that that joy will just continue to bubble up as we recognize the Lord's blessing and the Lord's goodness in our lives. So as part of preaching Christ crucified, I just wanted to go back and think about the fall. And because of the sins of Adam, we needed to be redeemed through salvation and believing that Jesus is Lord. Isaiah said, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." And Jesus spoke about the need for a Saviour and the reason that he came to earth as a man. While he was speaking to Nicodemus, who was asking him questions, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then John goes on to summarize, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He came to set us free so that we could be free indeed. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is the first step to the new eternal life in the kingdom of God. So I was just, as I prayed and as I put this down, I just felt like I wanted to see, you know, if there's anybody here who feels that they haven't declared with their mouth and they don't feel like they are born again or really saved, now's your chance. So if that's you, take a step of faith. I just really ask that you just come up, come to the front, and I just want to pray with you. Because I just believe that this is the basic, the ground roots. I remember when I first came to know the Lord, it was a Sunday service at a camp, a family camp. And there'd been a testimony about how a man's life had been changed through the power of God. How he'd gone from a person who just didn't know who he was to someone who had a real a call on his life. And it hit me, but instead of me going to the front, I ran to the kitchen and I hid out the back of the service, and I was there with Vanessa my wife, and she was brave. She answered the call and went up to the altar. But I hid in the kitchen, but I couldn't hide from God. And he just dealt with me and dealt with me, and he just poured out, and I was shivering, and I was had butterflies, and I just couldn't resist the call of the Lord. So I gave in. Best thing I ever did. Changed my life forever. Hasn't been easy, but I wouldn't change it for the world. So if you don't know that you are fully, fully, fully in the Lord, please don't miss out. Don't miss out. And you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But the promise is you will be saved. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. As they say, I'm speaking to the converted. So restoration. So God came and restored. Repentance brings forgiveness. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who call on whom the Lord our God will call." So that's us. It's me. That's you. Repent and be baptized. So receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a once-off. But I believe that repentance and prayers of forgiveness are ongoing for a healthy body. So just as Alan and Kendall and Zach testified last week about that ongoing requirement or the ongoing need for prayer, there's just really a sense that some of those things, they do hold us back from being salt and light. And Alan spoke about, victorious ministry through Christ, and that for me has also been an incredible opportunity to learn the power of the Holy Spirit and to see it at work in my life. Because there are layers to us. There are things that we need to walk away from. There are things that we need to put down and allow the Lord to work. So if there's more that you want to know about that ministry as well, please speak to Alan or myself. But Acts talks about repenting. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Is any among you in trouble? In James chapter 5, verse 13 and 16, a prayer of faith. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise like we did today. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. So therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's part of a prayer ministry. Confession of your sin, prayer, receiving healing, receiving salvation again, receiving that flood of just the changed life. About 8 years ago, I had a significant moment during a ministry And I had the opportunity to receive, it was just amazing, because you don't even know sometimes what's going on in your life. You don't really know that there's things that are holding you back. And through a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I had an issue with my mum. And my relationship with my mum had been not fractured, but it was not whole, because she couldn't say she loved me. She never said she loved me. And it was really, it hurt. And I'd never really consciously thought about it. But subconsciously, it was having an effect on me and on my relationship with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And I had to pray. I had to forgive my mum for... Well, actually, it was really about me. I had to repent, because she is who she is, and I shouldn't have been taking on board anything, because she still loved me. I know she loved me. And so I prayed, I repented, and the Lord healed me of that. And at that very same time, something broke in me. There was just a sense of the power of God and the love of God that I'd never felt before. It was just, I was in a room with three people, but it was like there was just light, and I was just on my own, and I was just in the glory of the Lord. And it was just a simple prayer of repentance. And then I had just such an amazing revelation of God in my life. And I think that was a turning point for me in so many things. And so I just encourage you, it's a testimony of what can be done and what can be released just through the power of repentance and forgiveness. So I just wanted to share that with you. And the relationship with my mum was great. I still think she never said she loved me, but it doesn't matter, because she did. So it's all part of our walk to be open and submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in us. We really don't have any way of knowing how the sin in our lives has been affecting us and our relationships with others and with God. So we need to step out and take our place. As we walk in freedom, we have to be open and willing to be used by the Lord. So when you feel like the Lord's saying, pray for a person, be bold and pray. When people need help, be willing to help. And when the Lord says to you to give, give freely. Don't be distracted or discouraged by the storms of life. There'll be distraction, but just listen harder. Just know that the Holy Spirit is speaking. He does want you to do His will. And there's no promises that it's going to be an easy life. We as a family have been through many, many storms and trials where we could have rejected God. We could have questioned Him. But we didn't, and I'm so thankful. And these verses from James are my favourite, and I can testify that there is truth in these promises. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We will face trials, but you know, the Lord is in it. Pastor Jackie prayed that, you know. The Lord works all things together for the good of those who love Him. Even the scars and the hurts in our life, the Lord uses so that we can help other people. We speak testimony. We can speak life through our victory. So we do need to consider it pure joy. When trials come, we've got to change our attitude, change our thinking, and think, okay, Lord, help me through this, and just know at the end there's going to be something amazing. The Lord's glory will shine in it. Submit to God's will. Now to Him who could do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God's going to do so much more when you step out in faith, and the results you'll see are going to astound you. Just like me standing here, it's a miracle in itself. But it's a testimony of Jesus at work in me and in my life, and just being willing to step into it. Trust that God's ways are perfect. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to let you know right now, and that word, thank you, Pat, for being bold. Thank you for listening to the Lord and for being willing to come to eldership and just, yeah, and ask to share that. But that is a good word, and it's a word in season. It's an encouraging word. It was an encouragement to me. And I just want to let everybody know that the elders are trusting God. We are trusting in Him. He has a perfect plan for Hillside Church. We know that. And we know that the Lord will provide a pastor. He's chosen exactly who it is and when they'll come. So in the meantime, we just stand, we rest, we listen. We might have to wait. But we are trusting God in this. And I just hope that you come on board with us and just be at peace and just know that God is working. He's doing amazing things. This is an opportunity for us all to lift and to step into and find our piece in the puzzle. Be who God wants us to be. We don't have to hide behind somebody else. And I have had to repent of that, and I'll share that. You know, sometimes as an elder, I'd hide behind Pastor Kerry or, you know, pass things on to Pastor Kerry, which I shouldn't have done. And I'm sorry for that. But now, God's teaching us, He's maybe slapping me, not to do that. And we won't do that in the future. That's not what we want to do. We want to share the load. We want to do what we have to do. And not just handball to somebody else because it's easy. And I've seen this at work. I've seen God provide people. I've seen it in the school. There was one year, it was mid-January, and the school year was about to start in a few weeks. And Steve Lamont came to me and he said, we don't have a business manager. We need somebody to run the business. And so we sat and we prayed. He called me 2 days later and said, I've had a call from somebody. He's going to be perfect. And he is. Jim Sokos, he's a blessing from the Lord. So now I don't worry. When we need a position filled, the Lord fills it. God is good. Amen. So we have to be confident in the victory. So in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus, the great high priest. Therefore, it's the next. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Receiving God's grace. He's so good. We see prayers answered. We see things happen that He is doing miracles in our lives. For me, I have to come to Him sometimes and receive His mercy, especially when we're tempted. You know, Jesus, He was tempted, but He did not sin. It's a struggle for us. For me, when temptation comes, I've learned, and I'm so blessed, but I've learned I can call on the name of Jesus. I can call on Him to take away that temptation, and He does it. His grace is incredible. He can just cut away something like that so quickly. I pray that everybody can learn to do those things. It's sometimes harder than it is hard. But God is good. We need to go to Him. He can, with confidence, we can go to Him with confidence and we can ask and we will receive His grace, His mercy. He saves us every day, constantly. He's there for us. So I wanted to talk to you about how we can be that piece in the puzzle. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I shared this on Wednesday with the school staff, and they had a retreat, and I shared salt and light, and this is something that's been speaking to me for a while about being salt and light, and the Lord's had to rebuke me, and I wanted to, and I've had to repent because I've hidden my light under a bowl for years, and I haven't stepped out when the Lord wanted me to step out. So I just think it's a good time to reflect. We have so much that we've got to give. There's such gold. We talk about gold in this body. Every single one of you have so much to give. It's such a blessing to be in this church and to hear such good things about what people are doing, to hear the testimonies of your lives and what God's doing. And I look forward to hearing more and more of that. And that's one thing that the leadership are committed to this year, is helping to identify each and every person's giftings and each and every one of you where your place is within the church. So we want to encourage that. Forgive us if we've not done that well in the past, but we really want us to be a healthy body working together, helping one another, strengthening one another, being there for one another. So as we reflect and consider and pray, I just wonder if... Do you want to put up the next one? I just wonder if it's sin and maybe unforgiveness that takes away our saltiness. I always wondered, you know, in that verse, okay, so if you do lose your taste, it's not going to really get back. But I believe, you know, you're never going to be fully tasteless. But I think it's the sin that does that. So let's repent. Let's confess our sins. And then we can receive God's full forgiveness. And we can walk in the light. We can let our light shine for Christ. We can come out from under that bowl. We can be on the lampstand. We can shine bright. So, Lord, forgive us if we've been hiding. Lord, I pray this year is one of stretching and growing and trusting in you, trusting in the Holy Spirit to reveal the things that we need to let go of, so that, Lord, you can send us where you are calling us. Lord, help us shine the light of Christ. Praise you, Lord. Because when you consider your calling, when you think about where you are called, and when you're walking in that, I believe that's where there is joy. That's where we find the fullness of joy, because we can just step back and God is just flowing through us and through our life. So just don't hold back. So I just felt, and I know I've, oh wow, time flies. I must have been having fun. I just feel like, and I've basically come to the end of the word, but I just feel like if the Holy Spirit's convicting you of something that you either need to confess or receive prayer for, I just really want to ask you if you'd come up and let's deal with it. Jesus is our healer. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He loves us so much, so much, and He only wants the best for us. So, Lord, speak to us now, Lord. Lord, we submit to your Holy Spirit. We are yours. We are saved. We are your children. Lord, you promised that living water, Father, to flow. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, is there anything that we need to deal with? Lord, I pray you'll just open us up to receive that today. Lord, speak to us during the week, Lord. Help us to release. Help us to be released. God, I know you're at work. I thank you, Father, for what you are doing. You're glorious. You're mighty. You are the head. You are the head of this church, Lord. We give you all the grace, all the praise that you are due, all the honor you are due. We declare that you are Lord and Savior in this place, Lord. Give you all the glory and thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.